all cocky now or anything. I think you like it when I'm cocky. Maybe a little bit. I had a really good time. I wouldn't mind having that same good time again. I wouldn't mind that either, I confess. His gaze sinks, and I wonder if he's thinking about the same thing I'm thinking. It almost feels like we've tricked each other into believing this has nothing to do with Ty, but I'm not sure I want that illusion to end. I don't want anything to stand in the way of what we've realized we can work out together. Like we said, Jesse tells me, we have a few days to enjoy it at least. Right? I hear worry in his tone, like he's afraid of me refusing him, not granting him this experience again, which obviously is a hell of a lot better than if I had frightened him, freaked him out, sent him running. There's a terrible part of me that just wants to give Jesse what he wants again and again and again, as much as he wants it. And I'm kind of stunned he's taken an interest in me. After what just happened, I tell him, I think I'm developing somewhat of an infatuation with you. An infatuation, he says, his lips curling upward. Now, who's the cocky one? The sound of his laughter hits my ears just right, like those sounds he made when I was inside him. It's the confirmation I need, to know I'm making him happy. But I can still see the worry in his expression, that worry we both share, a worry that it seems neither of us wants to deal with in this moment. I put my hand on his face and draw him near for a kiss. It's a distraction, a way to not face the truth. Not now. Not while we're having such a good time. Life is so fucking complicated. But this isn't. It's simple. I understand it. He understands it. Can't we focus on that? I know that's irresponsible, yet Jesse makes me want to be totally selfish. What does it matter if I do that just for a little while, which is all we have anyway? We shower. And this time, I don't try to push him under another showerhead. In fact, I find I have a hard time keeping my hands off him. Look at that, he says, tapping my dick lightly. I'm fully aroused again, as if I'm ready to go again, and he's starting to get a chubby as well. Do you want us to head back into the bedroom? He asks. Why? Do you need to head back into the bedroom? I wrap my arms around him, cupping his ass in my hands, gripping tightly. He does the same, sliding his fingers between my cheeks. I push away quickly, instinctively, in a way I can tell surprises him. Up until that point, it's all been playful and fun, hot, mad, rabid desire. But in an instant, he reminded me of my own vulnerabilities and stirred a darkness that can take something so fun and light and bring out the pain within me. He says, do you not do that? I'm just not comfortable bottoming, I explain, keeping my distance from him, something that I can tell is throwing him. He eyes me peculiarly. Oh, is that like a thing? He asks. Like that uncomfortable that when I touch it, you step back? It's not something I enjoy. Okay, he says. But I can tell by the way he says it that he doesn't really understand, and he's going back and questioning everything. What had been fun, frisky and seemingly without many obstacles between us, has suddenly become something else. Like I thought before. Those things that feel so good turn on you. And as it seems so appropriate for Jesse, his talent for getting to me, hitting all my buttons, has finally found the trigger that has the power to warp everything we'd experience together. I hate myself as I watch his expression shift to something so different than before. He's confused, uncertain, realizes the limits I have, the walls I put up. So he begins, it was fine for me to do that for you. But you aren't even willing to do it the other way? when he puts it like that. It makes me feel like a real bastard. I just don't do that. I'm a total top, as they say. What you experienced, what you enjoyed, it doesn't do that for me. Oh. I can hear the disappointment in his tone. I hate myself. All I've wanted was to make him feel good, to make him happy, and now I've made things weird between us. Such is life. Because nothing can feel too good, nothing can be too amazing, there always has to be something to come and fuck it all up. I want to ease the tension. I want to try and make him feel better. But I find I am up against my own mental barriers. He stirred this anxiety within me without even realizing it. While I'm trying to throw up my defenses, I'm also battling another war inside my mind. A series of images playing out over and over again, throwing me back to a different time, a different life, a different me. It's a part of my world that makes me feel guilty and ashamed. And as much as I want to wrap him in my arms and tell him he didn't do anything wrong, right now there's a part of me that blames him for forcing me through this painful series of emotions that has me wanting to do nothing more than curl up into a ball in the corner of the shower, make him leave me alone so I can recover. Instead, I ball my hands into fists to stifle the trembling I can feel coming over me. I think I need to get dried off. I force out of my mouth. The atmosphere between us has completely shifted, transformed, and it's all my fault because I'm so fucked up. Jesse, we were having so much fun, and what felt so playful and frisky has become tense and frustrating. When I reached around to play with his ass, I thought he would find that erotic, but instead, he totally shut down. The light in his eyes dulled, and he got short with me. As we dry off, he won't look at me. He's lost in a daze, thinking about something. What did that do to him? I'm angry with myself for having pushed, but also with Eric because he was such a jerk about it. Here I was, so vulnerable and open to him, receptive to whatever he wanted to do. And then he cut me off like that. My pride is wounded. I'm torn between wondering what the fuck I did so wrong to upset him and being mad for how he reacted. Eric tells me he needs to take some time to work, but I know it's an excuse to get away from me. I want to get to the heart of what his issue was, but I feel like I need to clear my head. I agree to give him space and then head out and take a walk down the beach. I don't put on any sunscreen. I head out with nothing more than my cell phone and my anger and hurt. I kick my bare feet through the sand, feeling that tightness in my chest, that discomfort that feels so foreign compared to the sheer pleasure I was enjoying not half an hour earlier. It's such a jumbled mess in my brain. There's this part of me that is holding on to those moments that felt so amazing, those delicious, erotic moments where we explored so much together, where Eric awakened this side of me, where he opened up this new world of experiences. But that one moment, that shift in his gaze, that tenseness of his jaw that let me know I'd done something wrong threw everything out of whack. I know there's much more to what happened than him being some total top. Because if it was only something he didn't like, his behavior wouldn't have totally transformed before my very eyes. There are plenty of things Whitney or I weren't into, and when they came up, one of us just said no, or I'm not into that. But Eric didn't just express that he wasn't into it. He became another person in that moment. I want to confront him about it, yet there's a part of me that realizes I don't know him well enough for that. That experience is a clear reminder of exactly how little I know about him, and that I don't have a right to pry into what made him so uncomfortable. He has boundaries about his issues with Ty, and about whatever the fuck happened back there. Even though I can't be sure of what exactly stirred that response from him. It doesn't take a genius to realize it's something in his past. Something fucked up happened to him. Something he's not okay with sharing. Someone hurt him, I just know it. There's this feeling in my gut that lets me know there's really no other reasonable explanation. It's none of my business, considering how little we know of each other. But it doesn't change that I wish it could be my business. That Eric would break down some of these barriers and open up to me. I want to get to know him better. I like what I've seen of him so far. As I watch some kids playing with a football in the surf, I feel my phone vibrate and pull it out. It's a text from Ty, complaining about being back home. A familiar guilt rises within me. It feels like there are so many fucking things to think about when it comes to what we're doing. Wouldn't it be easier to stop? It's complicated. There are layers to Eric that are more complicated than I could have considered, but even that doesn't feel like it's enough to deter me. It makes me even more curious about him. There's something about Eric that fascinates me, leaves me wanting more. Of course, there's that part of him that just turns me on. But then there's also something else there. Ty is my best friend. I love him and care about him. But I can't turn my back on what's happening here. If I could have, I would have done that already. No. I've never been the kind of guy to run from things I'm afraid of, and I'm not starting now. When I return to Eric's condo, I knock on his door and wait for a response. Something. Anything. I'm about to knock again when the door opens. His bangs fall across his forehead and curl to the side in a way that's, oh, so fucking sexy. Those blue eyes sparkle. I can tell by the way he holds his face, the way he avoids my gaze, that something's changed. That it's not the light-hearted Eric I was used to seeing before. The man standing before me is someone else. Someone I haven't encountered before.
Hey, sorry, he says. Just finishing up some work stuff.
He assesses my face for a moment before tensing up.
Were you out in the sun? He asks.
Yeah, I took a walk on the beach, I reply, surprised by his attitude. He puts his hand to my cheek, caressing his thumb across it in a way that's familiar. I feel a sting. Shit, I say.
You didn't put on any sunscreen, did you?
He asks. No, like a dummy, I wasn't even thinking about it. Instinctively, it seems, he takes my hand and guides me back into his room, leading me to the bathroom. He releases my hand, bends down, opens a drawer, and pulls out a bottle of lotion. He opens it, puts some in his palm, rubbing his finger in it before he starts applying it to my face. He's not finished with putting much on before he stops and looks at his hand as if realizing he's made things that much more complicated. What's happening? Is everything okay, Eric? I ask. He manages to look everywhere in the bathroom except at me.
Everything's fine.
By the way he says it, it's clear nothing's fine. There's a part of me that feels like I don't have a right to push further, but after everything we've done together, I feel like certainly I must have that right. Really? I say. Because one minute, we were having a good time and everything seemed normal, and then in a second, everything totally changed. He nods as he continues applying lotion to my face. He opens his mouth like he's about to say something, but then stops himself just as quickly before coughing like he has something in his throat. I imagine it's a mental barrier that has prevented him from saying what really happened. I can feel I was right about there being much more to this than his total top explanation. That's why he's reacting this way. I just wish he could tell me. He pulls his hand from my face and dips his fingers into the lotion in his opposite palm. And I reach out to grab him and grab his wrist gently. I want to let him know I'm here for him. To let him know that whatever the fuck is going on in his brain, he's not alone. At least in this moment. Eric, I'm sorry if I did something wrong, I say,
pushing past my own pride and insecurities because I know that it, whatever it is, doesn't have anything to do with me. Finally, his gaze meets mine. He doesn't say anything, doesn't push me away, just stares into my eyes. Then he looks to where I'm holding him. A tear shifts in his eye, and I realize I've caught him in a very vulnerable moment. He takes my hand and pulls it off his wrist.
"You don't have anything to be sorry about," he tells me, before collecting some more lotion and rubbing it against my face.
It tingles as it makes contact. I try to find the words to say in a moment like this, something that can soothe away all this discomfort that seems to have built up within him, just something so that it can go back to the way we were when we were having fun.
"Whatever it is," I say.
"Oh, we don't have to talk about it, Eric." It threw me, but I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. I was thinking I was doing something right, but judging by whatever happened, I know I did something wrong, and I really am sorry.
"Now who's the one apologizing too much?" he teases. And it's such a lighthearted joke, I feel some of that tension dissolve in the air.
"No," Eric says, "I'm sorry, because I know you really did want to try that, and it's not something I can do. Not something I like to do."
"What happened to you, Eric?" "Something bad, I figure, but despite all these questions I have, considering we hardly know each other, he sure as fuck doesn't have a reason to tell me what's wrong.
I really did just think it would be fun, and I thought you would enjoy it, which is the only reason I pushed," I explain. "I mean, it's hot doing anything with you, so I don't want you to think you're depriving me of anything. I can promise you I thoroughly enjoyed what we did back there in the bedroom."
As Eric rubs the remaining lotion into his own hands, his lips curl upward. The tension that has been in the air, it's like it's all being stripped away steadily the more we talk, as though each joke and each reflection on the good things we've shared is tearing away at the wall Eric put up. I feel like it's now or never, that this is my opportunity. I move forward quickly and press my lips against his, feeling that tingle as his scruff rubs against my face, reminding me of what a dumbass I was for not applying sunscreen before heading out. But I dismiss that as I focus on reawakening what's so right and good between us. When I feel him kiss back, I know I'm breaking through those barriers. He puts his hand on the back of my neck, pulling me close to him, me feeling his strength and power once again, like it's returning to him.
"This is all my fault," he whispers as he pulls away. "I wanted to make you feel good and sexy and beautiful. And then I made you feel so shitty.
You didn't do anything wrong, Jesse. I want you to know that. That thing that happened was my fault, 'cause I'm an idiot. I'm not used to this dynamic. Usually, if I'm with somebody, they're a power bottom and prefer to be dominated, and they know that's all they want. But with you, you're so new, and you want to explore. You need to explore. And I've realized there's a part of that I can't do for you.
Like I said, we don't have to do that. We can enjoy the things we can do, because I'm having a lot of fun with that."
"No, you're right," Eric says. "It just got into my head, and I started thinking way too much about everything."
"Well, that makes sense, considering this is a fairly complicated situation,
isn't it, though?"
I kiss him again, to offer another reminder of this chemistry between us, the chemistry that feels so much more special since we fucked. As I pull away, he looks into my eyes.
"That's not complicated," I say.
"No," he says with a chuckle.
"That's not complicated at all."
He wraps his arms around me, pressing his lips firmly against my own before pushing me back against the door frame. I relax and enjoy the diffusion of that barrier between us. It's not completely gone, but at least I know that whatever was standing in Eric's way has let up. My worry and fear that he would shut me out entirely have been replaced with the ease of knowing we can still share this thing that feels so important. And yet I feel like a bastard, because despite saying we don't have to talk about whatever his issue is, now I'm wildly curious. Now I just want to get inside his head to know more about this obstacle. Why he hurts. Who he really is. Who hurt you, Eric? I don't know why I'm so certain that's what this must be about. But it's right where my mind goes, considering how he acted in the shower and his evasiveness after. I can't help but feel there's some painful story to go along with his reaction, something that explains how this strong, confident man became so anxious and vulnerable, weak even. It's almost like there's something he's telling me without even using words, but I can't quite make sense of it. I'm developing a serious issue, an Eric Westright issue, and he might be turning into an obsession. Eric. No, this isn't complicated. I shut down in the shower before because of my own issues, because of how fucked up I am in the head. I was sure I totally screwed everything up, that the script that played out would be I pissed off this young kid who doesn't understand the difference between rejection and a fucking anxiety attack, that he wouldn't want to speak to me anymore, and we'd go the rest of this trip without hardly seeing one another, or him avoiding me at the very least. But I'm so glad he came back to me. With our lips locked, as I shove him back to the bed, this all makes perfect sense. In a moment, I'm on top of him, and he accepts all my kisses, despite what an asshole I was earlier. I'm amazed. Just when I think I can't be surprised anymore by Jesse, he goes and does something like this. When I heard that knock, I was lying on the bed after having taken a Xanax, recovering from what happened in the shower, hoping the pain would pass. Jesse couldn't have understood what he'd awoken within me with such a simple move as showing his interest in my ass. But by the way he handled the situation, I know he understands it was more than me being an asshole, despite the fact that that was how I approached it. I wish I dealt with it better. I wish I had the capacity to just brush it off or even make it genuinely sound like it wasn't something I was interested in. It's a limitation I resent, one that makes me hate myself as well as the bastard I hold responsible, who haunts me every day, lingers in the back of my mind, as though he's waiting to crawl back out and make me feel pathetic, like a victim. I'm not a victim, no. I've told myself that God knows how many times, and yet it's always there. No amount of wishing it away ever seems to work. Fortunately, between the Xanax and Jesse's compassion, some of that tension has let up. We didn't discuss the details of my past, of my pain, but on some level I feel like what we shared was so much more special. Jesse's reverence for my boundaries, for my inability to go there. He could have pushed. I dreaded him attempting to bring any of that up, but he didn't. He respected that I wasn't ready. All I want to do right now is thank him for that, because I feel like in a moment, he didn't only forgive me for my behavior, but he gave me permission to be my broken self with him. How does he do that to me? How does this kid have this incredible power over me? There's something different about him. Something that's driving me crazy. I want to know more about the kind of man who handles a situation like that, who sees past my guardedness and my defense mechanisms. I've appreciated and reveled in the physical stuff we've shared. As close as our bodies get, though, what I want is so much deeper. What I crave is like when he shared that shit about when he was growing up, about who he really is. I know it's selfish of me to want to get to know him, yet keep myself at some distance. Keep him out of my own head, away from those things I don't want to face. I lean back. His eyes are closed, his mouth hanging open like he's waiting for me to return for another kiss. But I just look down at him, gaze at that beautiful face. He opens his eyes. You really should have used sunscreen, I tell him before reaching up to his face and setting my hand against his cheek. Nothing should ruin this perfect skin. He chuckles. Well, aren't you a charmer suddenly? I have my moments. I think you should let me take you to dinner tonight, he tells me. I enjoy that it wasn't a question, that he's pressing. Oh, dinner, my, isn't this progressing fast? I tease him. Well, I mean, we basically went on a date this afternoon. That wasn't a date, I insist. It was fairly datey. He's not wrong. And I had that thought myself earlier, especially when we were sitting there, opening up to one another the way people do on a date. But still, I feel like it would be wrong to say that's what it was when I had no intention of going on a date with him, although after what just happened, after how he pushed his way through all my fucked up shit, I wouldn't mind a date with him. I don't know that we can call it a date, I tell him. I think that implies things can go further, and that there's some interest in it becoming something more than a date, which, considering our situation with my son and your friend, we both know that's not possible. He scrunches up his face. A date means I like you, and I want to get to know you. That's what we had earlier, so technically what's the difference? Let's not split hairs. He's trying to make like it's not a big deal, but it is, and really, I want to get to know him better. This guy I found who's constantly impressing me. He wraps his arms around me before forcing pressure on my shoulder, pushing me down onto my back and straddling me, taking control of the situation in a way that's hot as fuck. If ever there was someone I'd want to share something like that with, it would be someone like Jesse. But even entertaining the thought isn't worth my time, since I know from my own experience it's not possible for me. That it's too painful. Too difficult. I've tried in the past, and I'm not willing to try again. I've been hurt too badly, and I won't be left with that awful feeling again. But I can enjoy this much. Being beneath him. Looking up at this boy who's so strong and confident in this moment. Yet I have seen and understand those parts of him that are vulnerable, like myself. He leans down and kisses me softly. Come on, he whispers against my lips. Let me take you out. It's such an innocent comment that it makes me feel almost like a kid. Like I can forget about all the serious things weighing me down, weighing us down. I want to lose myself to this experience, especially being so far removed from my life, so far away from anything serious. In many ways, being here with Jesse is a fantasy, some dream I'm having. And when I return home, when we return home, it'll be like waking up. Well, Mr. Morgan, I say, I think I'm eager to take you up on this offer for a date, keeping in mind that I'll be paying. He shakes his head. No, I'll be paying. We can split it. He shakes his head again. Not happening. We'll see about that. Now I do have a little bit of work I have to catch up on. I tell him, that's cool. Say, 7-ish? I'll pick you up. I laugh. So funny to think how tense I was when he knocked on my door, how on edge, how ready I was to be defensive of my actions, and how now I just want to go out and have a good time with him. It's amazing what that friendly expression of his can do to me. Not that the Xanax hurts. Yeah, you can pick me up then, Mr. Smooth, the operator. He winks. That's what I want to hear, he says, before licking my lips. Such a dominating move that only turns me on more. Thinking maybe we could go again, I'm kind of bummed when he heads toward the door. He turns back around, offering a warm smile surrounded by his reddened face that I'm actually concerned about. See you in a few, he says, before closing the door behind him. I'm alone in the room again, and yet I feel revitalized. I don't know what I've gotten myself into, and I don't care. Because right now I'm so lucky to have this excitement surging within me, not just about Jesse, but life. This renewal. This eagerness. Like a fucking teenager about what we're going to do tonight. And the fact that I'll be doing it with Jesse. Jesse. We take seats across from one another at a small table on the beach, a few yards from the shore. The sun drops in the distance as sunset nears. In a short-sleeved button-up with the top buttons undone to reveal the slightest amount of chest hair, Eric settles in the chair across from me, his bangs catching in the wind. We didn't talk much on the way to the restaurant I made reservations at. I'm letting Eric take this all at his own pace. I want him to feel comfortable, like I'm not pushing him. Despite how he opened back up and pulled out of whatever state he'd found himself in, I can tell he's not entirely okay. The more we chatted after I got back from my walk, the more I realized he needed me to be there for him, that he wasn't as upset with me for setting him off as he was with himself for being pulled so violently from the playful moment we were having. I want to know more about the reason why he behaved the way he did when I touched him like that, but it's clear he doesn't want to talk about it, and that's a lot to ask, considering we haven't known each other very long. I try to chase away my curiosity as I glance over the menu. I guess it's either going to be nachos or fajitas. Maybe a burrito, if I really want to be crazy. I joke, hoping to get at least a laugh from Eric. He chuckles. I'll take it. He gazes up at me from his menu, the right side of his mouth curled upward. I like when you make that expression, I tell him. I think I can get you to do that later as well, but probably not until we make it back to your bedroom. Mr. Morgan, he says in a playfully stern tone, the date's just started. And I think you're being rather presumptuous, thinking we'll make it back to my bedroom. I got some pretty slick moves, I boast. Been a little out of practice, but I'm fairly sure it works the same with guys as it does for girls. I assume you're talking about the flirting part? Eh, some of the foreplay too, it seems like. Although I have very limited experience, so I could be mistaken. He rolls his eyes, but judging by the amusement on his face, he appreciates the lightness of this conversation. I'm being sillier than normal, not on purpose. It's like everything in me is working to set Eric at ease, to remind him I'm on his side and not judging him for whatever happened earlier. After the waiter takes our order, we chat a little about the weather tomorrow and what time he thinks we should go surfing. The waiter brings our food. And Eric takes a bite of his nachos when I ask, you know of any good places to go dancing around here? I seem to have caught him off guard because he pulls a half-eaten bean and cheese-drenched chip away from his mouth. Some beans and cheese drip down onto his plate, and he grabs his napkin and runs it across his face, then puts it back to his lap. There's actually a really good place, he finally manages to respond, although it's a gay bar. I lean toward him. Well, in case you haven't caught on, Eric, I'm kind of fine with gay. I reach across the table and run my thumb under his bottom lip, collecting a bit of the beans and salsa he missed. I pull my hand back and lick my thumb to accentuate my point and hopefully turn him on a little bit more. I see that desire in his eyes. That look that always makes me feel like he's never looked at another guy like this. Do you like to go out dancing? I ask him. I do, actually. I haven't been out in a while. But that would be really nice. Good, because I didn't have any other plans for the later part of our date. Oh, really? I assumed I knew where you wanted this date to end up. Eventually it needs to end up there, but I have to show you I'm more than what I can do in the bedroom. You've already shown me that. His expression is so serious that I have to ask.
What do you mean?
I just understand that you are much, much more than anything I could have initially suspected. In a very good way.
Wow, well, thank you.
I have to say the same thing about you. I mean, considering what I've heard from Ty. I stop myself. This is not the direction this conversation needs to go. I'm sorry, I spit out. He raises his hand. It's fine. Trust me, I know what my son thinks of me, and that's a whole other complicated issue. But even with whatever you've heard, I appreciate that you've at least given me a chance.
What does he think Ty said to me?
I'm curious. There's something more there between Ty and Eric in their past, just like there's so much more to what happened earlier. There are all these parts of Eric that he hides away. It's like a labyrinth I need to get through and figure out. I don't know why, but I want to know. I want to do more than mess around with him. I want to be his friend. I want to get to know who he is as a person because he seems like a really cool guy. When we finish eating, we go to a nearby bar and have a few drinks before he says it's time to head over to the dance club. Guys, a lot of them, not wearing shirts, drink at the various bars around the place. At the far end of the club, a strobe light flashes an assortment of colors, illuminating the fog-filled air. Some loud pop beat plays, which sounds familiar, but with all the noise in the club, I can't make out the artist. How often do you come here? I ask Eric as we sidle up to one of the bars.
Not too often. My ex and I used to come here every time we came down to visit.
Ex? This is the first time I've heard him mention being with someone else. It reminds me how strange he is, how he tries to keep from giving away too many personal details about himself.
What was his name? I ask.
He seems taken aback by the question, like he has just realized he's kept from mentioning him and that I have in some way called him out on his bluff on the fact that he doesn't share very much.
Casey, he replies.
How long were you guys together?
3 years.
Oh, wow. So that's a pretty decent length for a relationship.
Yeah, it was.
He practically says that through his teeth. It seems like he doesn't want me to press, and I can't help but say, is every area of your life not up for discussion? It's evident, by the way, his neck and jaw tense that I've made a huge mistake and he's about to shut down. I take his wrist the way I did in the bathroom, gently, hoping to reassure him, and immediately say, that was my bad, that came out wrong. I just want to talk to you about things, but anything you don't want to talk about, I understand. I'm nervous. Worried I've totally fucked this up. I know he has things he doesn't want to tell me about, but I just had to fucking push. And now I might have ruined our whole fucking night, which was going really well. We're back to that silence we do so well. And then he blurts out, he decided he wanted to be with someone else. I'm thrown, because I was expecting him to tell me it was none of my fucking business. He takes a deep breath, as if he's struggling with himself, before saying, he was deciding for about a year that he wanted to be with someone else before he left me, while I foolishly believed we had something special. I'd bought a ring. I was planning to propose to him not a month later. Oh my God. I can understand the importance of this moment, that he pushed himself to share. He could have shut down or avoided the subject. I'm sure he knows I would have let him.
Thank you, I tell him. I know that might be weird or awkward, but I mean it.
I'm not good at this, Eric says.
Not good at what?
Talking? I'm not good at talking about painful things. I'm sure you probably noticed by now. And usually I'm good at redirecting the conversation or finding a way out of it somehow, but it's a little trickier with you.
Why do you think that is?
I don't really know.
It reminds me of what I'm experiencing with him. I don't really know either, but I don't care.
Well,
I appreciate that you feel like you can share things with me, I say, and I want you to know I feel very similarly about you, that I do feel like I can talk about things I don't necessarily talk about with everyone, and it feels nice. I hope that's how it feels for you. Eric smirks. Surprisingly, it really does. Come on, I tell him. Why don't you show me how you tear it up on the dance floor? Eric. Jesse guides me through the crowded club. Several of the patrons, most of whom are tourists here for the season, glance our way. Even though I notice a few interests directed at me, it's the ones directed at Jesse that catch my attention. Leave me feeling overprotective and jealous. Something primal within me wants to mark him, claim him as mine, even though he's not. We're just messing around. As we make our way into the fog-filled room with the dance floor, Jesse finds a space between some of the patrons already dancing, some totally out of it, their eyes wandering and their arms flailing without regard for the beat. They've obviously taken pills, and that'll become a lot more prevalent the later it gets. Jesse whirls around to me. The navy polo he wears, with a stripe across his chest, is tight against his body, his arms swelling in the sleeves. His chest pushes forward, stretching the fabric and giving me a clear indication of where his nipples are. The strobe light has switched from flashing a variety of colors to green. As it goes dark and then flashes in succession, he moves toward me, pressing his body against mine without hesitation or regard for the audience around us. Not that anyone is watching us, but I expected a little unease at least. He moves to the music, and he doesn't even have to move his body but a minute before I can feel his natural rhythm, not to mention his slight erection. "Do you go out to gay clubs a lot?" I ask. "This is my first time, but it seems like fun." "Oh, you just seem really comfortable with it. I've never had this many people looking like they were interested before," he says with a grin, and a lump forms in my throat as I tense up. He's not mine, I remind myself. He should be able to go home with any of these guys and me be fine. "I've been to dance clubs before," he adds. "I do actually get out and have a good time, so this isn't totally outside of something I would do. I like this vibe. Are all gay clubs this much fun?" "I don't know, are all straight clubs lame?" He presses his lips together, clearly realizing he was making a fairly silly generalization. "That was dumb of me, wasn't it?" "Oh yeah, ignorant for sure. You should probably shut up and dance." He does just that, pressing that hard on against me as we move our hips in sync. As I move, I notice him scanning me up and down. I doubt he was expecting me to be able to dance like this, and I like surprising him. He pushes his hand down against the small of my back, taking the lead as I follow his rhythm, matching it. The way he takes control like this is part of what draws me to him. Yet it's also the thing about him that intimidates the fuck out of me. That's why I had that breakdown when he started playing with my ass. I don't have any doubt that as good of a bottom as he is, he'd be as good of a top. And it's not that I wouldn't want that. It's that I can't give that to him. That's too much for me. I'm not weak. I've never been weak. But I know my limits. I lean toward him, pressing my face up against his as I whisper into his ear, "You're pretty good at this." "What can I say? I love to dance. Judging by the way you're moving, you do too." "I do," I confess. "I just haven't had a lot of opportunities." "Well, I'm glad we're fixing that issue right now." He closes his eyes and keeps up with the beat, and I do the same, allowing myself to push away those darker thoughts he activated, those thoughts I can never entirely escape, that haunt me. Our bodies are in sync the way they are in the heat of passion, but this experience is much different. There's a connection on another level, and I'm just listening to my body. At one point he turns around and starts moving his ass in circles against my pelvis. I slide my hand under his shirt while holding my other against his chest, pressing him back against me as he assures me he can do a lot more with that ass than I've seen so far. I want to spin around and let him take control, to have my ass against his pelvis to demonstrate my own abilities, but I'm not going to risk triggering myself again. Yet the mental wall makes those feelings from earlier rise back within me. I tense up as I try to run from the memories I know I'll never shake. As I brood on my limitations, he spins around and looks at me. I can see by the shift in his expression he can tell something's changed, that I'm not enjoying myself the way I was before. He puts his hand on my face and says, "Hey, hey, hey, it's all good." He offers a kiss, and then another, and another. Once again, I find myself appreciating how Jesse is able to ground me. He makes me feel like he cares and understands. He's not pushing to try and figure out why I'm like this. Even though I haven't discussed the details of why I reacted the way I did, he must know something's wrong. And he was generous enough to let me know he's here for me. It's amazing how someone who is basically a stranger, aside from the few days we've shared together, can have this effect on me. He pays attention to my moods, my feelings, in a way other people just don't. Maybe it's because of his own issues, because of those things in his past that people don't ask about, don't pick up the signals he offers about wanting to talk and share. I feel like most people don't want to delve deeper or ask those hard questions, which makes life easy because even if something happens, they pretend it didn't. Jesse isn't like that. As he kisses me, he continues moving his body with mine, trying to pull me back into the music. He must be able to tell I just can't, because he takes my hand again and whispers into my ear, "We can go to the bar if you want." That isn't what I want. I want to dance with him some more, but I know my mind is elsewhere. Enough years, enough times of being haunted by similar feelings have taught me that I can't shake myself out of these moods, no matter how much I may wish to be able to. "That would be nice," I tell him. He guides me off the dance floor, back to the bar, where we order another round of drinks. I don't hesitate to down my Jack and Coke. Jesse notices how quickly I'm drinking it, but he doesn't call me out or make a joke or try to shame me for it. He's here for me, and that feels really fucking nice. I start to feel the uneasiness dissolve. I take deep breaths, working to soothe myself the way I've learned through therapy over the years, not for my real issue, but for general anxiety. I'm just coping, getting by. Is it great? No. Is it enough? Well, I guess it has to be. I feel like the words are on the tip of my tongue, like some part of me wants to blurt the whole truth out to Jesse, so I press my lips together tightly, like I have to work to keep this secret from escaping. It's just the way I am. I bottle things up, I don't share. It's like that moment when I can hardly talk to him about Casey. "Do you want to get back out there and dance?" Jesse asks. "I can be game if you want to," I lie, because really I just want to crawl away somewhere and hide. He looks me up and down, and goddammit, it feels like he knows, like he can read me so much more than what I show the world. "Why don't we head back to your place?" he says. "I think we've had a pretty good date tonight. Maybe if you're lucky, you can..." He whirls around, his ass facing me as he winks over his shoulder. I chuckle before moving at him quickly and wrapping my arm around him. "I think that's something I could be into," I say, before kissing his neck. He rolls his head back. Here he is, in a gay club, not caring at all about me having my hands all over him, wanting him, kissing him. He pushes his ass against my pelvis and arches his back, reaching his arm behind him and pressing his hand against the back of my head. He trails his fingers through my hair. I appreciate the sensation and how he surrenders to me, surrenders his body as if just for my own satisfaction. My dick is rock hard. I find myself wanting his body, needing it, to help ease the pain within me. I reach my hand under his shirt and greedily claw my hands up and down his tight torso. Who the fuck are you, Jesse Morgan? Do you want me in that ass again? I ask him before grabbing his hip and pulling him back tighter against me, creating a pressure in my cock that leaves me hungering for him desperately. I've been wanting it back in me all night, he says. I lean forward, my head over his shoulder, his turn to me, and we kiss. I meant it to be a brief exchange, but his mouth tastes so good, like the margaritas he's been drinking, even with the tinge of salt, and the moment we kiss, the more this tension within me relaxes. I desperately crave it to the point where I just keep kissing. Finally, when I manage to pull myself away from him, we stumble out of the bar and head back to my condo. The moment we get out of the cab, it's difficult for us to make it to my unit because I keep forcing him against the walls and kissing him. It's only through Jesse's direction and guidance that we make it. I don't know how, but at some point, he ended up with my keys, and he unlocks the door, pulls me in. My arms are around him as I push him up back against the wall adjacent to my front door. My tongue is in his delicious mouth in no time. I pull away to tell him, "You're mine, Jesse, you're all mine." I don't know where the possessive thought comes from, but I like it. I don't deny this part of me that's so selfish about my lust for him, about the things I want to do to him. As I pull his shirt off, I'm so busy trying to get my lips back on him that I push them against his shirt too soon and force the fabric across my face. My lips burn, but I don't care because it's not long before they're back on Jesse's, and that's all that matters. We stumble toward the guest bedroom, and as we make our way through it, I remove my shorts, accidentally tripping on them and tumbling toward Jesse. My body lurches forward, shoving him down onto the bed so that I'm crushing him beneath my weight. "Shit, I'm sorry," I tell him. He laughs. "It's fine. I guess I'm drunker than I thought." What if he's too drunk for this, too? He must see the concern on my face because he asks, "What's wrong?" "I don't want to do anything if you're not capable, or if you feel uncomfortable. I think I'll feel worse if you don't do anything to me." Now he's got me laughing. "That seems to be a talent of yours," I say. "What?" "Making me laugh." He narrows his eyes like he's trying to figure something out. "You're such an interesting set of contradictions, Eric." As he says it, it pulls me back to those dark parts of me that he's noticed in such a short time, that he has this ability to evoke from me, to stir within me, parts of me I try so hard to keep hidden from the rest of the world. He places his hand on the back of my head, stroking his fingers through my hair. "Eric, I just meant that there are aspects of you that puzzle me, not in a bad way." There's something burning in my chest that I feel I have to say. I'm compelled to, because for some fucking reason I want to tell Jesse. "I'm a terrible father," I say quickly, and he looks totally thrown. "What?" he asks. "I shouldn't say this. Hell, he might even know from Ty, but I don't care. I feel like I want him to know my side in all this. I was with Trisha, Ty's mother, for a couple of years. I was at Georgia State and she was at Emory. I met her when she and her friends came into a restaurant I waited tables at. She was pretty and funny. We hit it off, so I tried to make it work, wanted to make it work. But I broke it off right before I transferred to UCLA. A lot of it had to do with me realizing who I really was, that she would be a lot happier with a guy who was into women, and I was honest with her about that. When I left, I thought that would be the end of it. And I didn't hear from Trisha for years. I'd heard from someone she was married with a kid. Then one day, I received a phone call. From her. She said the kid was mine, from right before we broke up. Said she hadn't told me because she wasn't sure she could handle me being a part of her life if we couldn't be together. Fucking load of shit. Ty always knew the guy Trisha married wasn't his dad because he was old enough to remember them getting together, but she never told him the truth about who his real father was. Even tried to keep it from him. But by the time he was 16, he was too persistent. She knew she couldn't keep brushing him off, which is why she'd called. She wanted my permission first. Of course I said yes. Here I had this kid all these years, and I didn't know it. I wanted to be a part of his life. I wanted to meet him, see him. I felt violated, like something had been taken from me that was mine all these years. So we met for the first time, and it was everything you would have expected from a Dr. Phil special. We hugged and cried, did the whole production of being excited to meet each other. I tear up just remembering how fucking exciting and scary that time had been. Am I really fucking crying in front of Jesse? Am I so drunk that I don't give a damn? Ty's mentioned some of this, Jesse confesses, about how Trisha wouldn't tell him who his father was, how he had to press, and then about when he met you. I was so fucking happy. But a moment of getting to know your 16-year-old son doesn't make you a dad. And Ty learned that really fast. As much as I tried to make time for him, work has me going here and there, and I make time for birthdays, and he can be sure if he needs anything, I'm there for him. But I'm not exactly winning Father of the Year. And I can see it in his fucking eyes. Just disappointment. Like, why did he ever reach out to this bastard who didn't do anything for him other than give his mother a moment and some sperm? That's not what he thinks, Jesse insists. Well, it's not the way it should be. I haven't lived up to whatever image he had of me in his brain that led him to think he wanted to reach out to me. And in some ways, that makes me feel about as shitty with him as my own dad was with me. And how was that? Jesse asks. God, I've opened up a can of worms. But now that I have, I can't stop myself. My mom left us when I was 5. I could tell Dad always resented the fact he was left with me. And so even though he was present, he sure as hell wasn't there for me. He never raised a fist or anything. He didn't need to. He showed his contempt through just never paying any attention to me, through never being around. He'd have his girlfriends around town and his drinking buddies he'd spend the weekends with, and I just sort of fended for myself, all the while hating him for not being there. That's not the same as what happened with you and Ty, Jesse says. You didn't have a say in that. Your father did. Somewhere deep down I know he's right, but it doesn't make me feel better. It's been hard knowing I can't make up for lost time, I say. And life goes on, regardless of all the birthdays I missed. The Christmases, the awards, the championships. We can't go back for a redo. I think Ty and I are both learning that the hard way. Just, most dads, they get to learn how to be dads with their kids. They figure it out as they go. Fuck up and make mistakes. But then have other opportunities to do better. This was just dumped on me, and I feel like all I ever do is fuck it up. I look down at Jesse, and he's a reminder of how fucked up everything in the world is. This sure doesn't help. I'm not doing myself any favors by fucking around with you. But I can't stop either. I kiss him, enjoying the tremendous relief he offers me, not just physically, but mentally, the cumbersome part of me I've suddenly been able to let go of. When I pull away, Jesse says, I do get what you mean about why your relationship with Ty is problematic. It might be harder for you guys than it is for most people, but the game isn't over yet. You still have time to be a good father to Ty. Trust me. I mean, it was one thing with my biological parents, who I know didn't want to be a part of my life, but my adoptive parents came into my life later, and even though they weren't there from the get-go, I feel so close to them, and our relationship is incredibly special. It might not be the same as it is for a kid who's had a great parent from the start, but it's better than nothing. But it can't change the fact that regardless of the reason, I still wasn't there. Jesse doesn't say anything. He doesn't have to. He knows it's true from his own experience, just like I know it from mine. He slides his hand from the back of my head to my face.